Hello and welcome to Manchester Match Review for DWF.co.uk. We want Glazers out. Manchester United back in action, their final home match against Newcastle United. I will be back with the team news. But first, I've got the bitterest man in Britain against Manchester United. A man whose last message to me was, the championship beckons. Dennis is going to have his full say and review of Manchester United season. And he is pro Man City for the FA Cup final, aren't you, Dennis?
Yeah, of course.
So, another. Well, you are a bitter Merseysider, so he does support Everton and Liverpool people. But anyway, back to Dennis. Thoughts on Manchester United this season?
It's been a disaster, hasn't it? One disaster from another. The league table tells you that. The reviews, poor performances, Rashford being dropped, just players underperforming for how long? You know, Man United fans know exactly what's wrong. The Glazers, you were going about the Glazers still. You're still paying your money through the turnstiles, still supporting them, as I've always said.
Well, you've got to support your team, and I think that's just an easy argument for somebody that hates Manchester United. So, you say it's been a poor season, so what do they need to do? What has been the specifics of the poorness? Poor English, but poor is the key word at the moment.
Defence. They've got literally no defence. I know Maguire's been in and out, and Martinez was injured. Juan Saka is a bit inconsistent. Darlow has probably been your most consistent player, I would say, defensively. But you leak goals very, very easily against all types of teams. Sheffield United, Burnley. I'm not sure Everton scored against you, though, actually.
Well, as I say, Dennis's bitterness has increased since Everton have stayed in the Premier League. But, I mean, no mention, I say, of one of your favourites, Johnny Evans.
Well, he's probably served you well, to be fair, this season. He probably would have been in a worse position if it hadn't been for his experience on the pitch, steadying the ship in certain games. So, I know you write him off, Phil, but I think you should be given credit, really.
Okay, I'll give him some credit for some good performances, which had never been brought back to the football club. Brought back to the football club for financial reasons and not for football reasons, which unfortunately the manager has got himself into a situation with. As I say, Erik ten Hag, you can sack yourself. You know you owed £9 million, and any manager that's thanked John Murta for his help while you were at the club, I mean, he's the idiot that I'd him for Anthony. I mean, it's just ridiculous, and it's disingenuous from Erik ten Hag, and for me, it does it. For me, I'm a fan, it's not fooling me. He just needs to get on with it, and he does need to do a better job, but he also needs to actually start selecting players that are actually going to perform for this football club. Your thoughts on Erik ten Hag, Dennis?
Overall, poor. I know. I go back to, was it the first game of the season against Brentford where he got beat 4-0? Was that the previous second?
See, Dennis doesn't really know. That was the previous season, but
you've been, obliterated so many times, it's hard to recall which actually games where you've been beaten 4-5-6. Was it 7 against Liverpool?
So name all the matches we've lost 4-5-0.
We lost against Brentford, we lost against Liverpool.
He can't name them, people. He's just trying to stay the. But anyway, carry on. Anyway, from the first match of that was last season, or the second match of last season, 4-0. You talked about the first match of this season in the Watford game, not the Wolves game. Sorry, not Watford.
No, what I'm saying is, without being able to recall all the games, is you've suffered heavy defeats on numerous occasions, and actually very embarrassing defeats as well, particularly at Liverpool. And this is not new under Ten Hag, is it? It's almost become an expectation that you've got a very soft belly. So you can't defend, but occasionally in the odd game, you've looked all right going forward. Like you took the lead against Manchester City at the Etihad with a great goal from Rashford. But that's the problem with people like Rashford and other players. You're getting absolute snippets of what they can produce. So there's no consistency. I mean, Mason Mount, why was he signed by United? He was already out of favour at Chelsea. He was injured. And then you paid top dollar for him still.
Well, thank God John Murta's gone. And as I say, to the idiots, and it's sad, actually. The Manchester Evening News were supposed to actually be journalists that sort of understand the football club. One of the people on their podcast gave John Murta 7 or 8 out of 10 for last summer's transfer window. Utterly ridiculous. Clearly, there were issues in that transfer window, especially up front. As I say, it is beginning to sound like Mason Mount wasn't necessarily even a Ten Hag signing. But if you're the manager and these players sign for you, I'm sorry, you have to take the hit as well as idiots and incompetents that run the football club. I mean, the one thing in Ten Hag's favour, which is quite interesting, there is an agenda against Erik Ten Hag. I mean, apparently, Ange Postecoglou is the greatest manager ever. Apparently, Poch is a superb manager. But let me tell you this. Erik ten Hag last season, in his first season at Manchester United, has done better than Ange did, and has done better than Poch did, and he's had a lot more matches than them. So he's definitely got scope to be a decent manager, but unfortunately, he's making mistakes, in my opinion. Some people say they're not mistakes, but he doesn't look strong, he looks weak. And I also think that Sir Rat, who, remember people, he is now in charge of the football side of this club. The Glazers are a disgrace. They're scum. They're parasites. They're horrible people. But Jim Ratcliffe, who was sat there laughing with the Glazers at the Coventry match, until he realised, actually, Man United are actually quite crap. I mean, actually, a lifelong fan would know that. As I say, he is not a lifelong fan of Manchester United. I am quite happy to say that. He is a fan of the club, and he was at the 1999 Champions League final, but that doesn't make him a lifelong fan, because a lifelong fan does not get a season ticket at Chelsea and go there more regularly than Old Trafford. No matter where he is based, you go to the club you love, allegedly. But your thoughts on Sir Rat and Dave Brailsford, who I'm still not sure what he does. He just wanders around with a clipboard looking angry. I mean, that's United fans generally, but just without a clipboard and not being paid anything. Just come to you say, apparently, he is, because we've got him a Barada, which is a good thing, but he can't start till July. No Dan Ashworth, because as I say, Sir Rat doesn't understand football. He doesn't realise clubs aren't just going to bow down to Manchester United. It's like he thinks it's a business deal. Things are slightly different in football. But apparently, Dave Brailsford is going to be helping out Jason Wilcox in the summer transfer window. A guy that, if you see what he's done at Nice and Luzern got relegated, by the way. They are back up, but they got relegated. That is a concern. But your thoughts on the Sir Rat revolution?
Too early to say, isn't it? I think he'll be judged on what he does after the season is over, whether he sacks Ten Hag.
No, before I say that, but why is he allowing the season to just fester? To me, that is exactly the same. That's the kind of thing the Glazers do. There's no change. He thinks the Glazers are nice people. That is a concern. It's good that he's getting people in to do the job, but it is a concern because he's been all about PR, which is one of the things the Glazers also love.
Well, he knows that. I mean, it would be pretty pointless to bring somebody new in now, wouldn't it?
No, but he's allowed things to just fester. That's what I mean. He's allowed it, and he's tried to act like the main man.
But he also acknowledges quite correctly, in my view, that how many managers do you keep on sacking to change a sinking ship? Which is exactly what it's been.
But this isn't about the manager. It's about the structure within the football club. It's very obvious what the problems were with that football club. John Murtagh should have been kicked out the moment he walked in. I think Richard Arnold walks because he got a massive £2.6 million pay. We'll find out what John Murtagh gets in the next financial results. This is the problem. Do you know what? Manchester United would have done better without Richard Arnold or John Murtagh. Nobody was there. I can tell you that now, because all they did was just screw more money out of this football club and talk absolute garbage. But anyway, sorry. I'll stop talking.
But you're going on about the Blasphil and the personnel like Mater and other people, that needs to be drawn a line in the sand now. You need to look to the future. I think that's what Sir Rat, as you call him, will be doing.
Well, that's his name. He's Sir Jim Ratcliffe. I'm allowed to surely Sir Rat.
No, but Rat's got certain connotations. A bit disrespectful, really, Phil.
He's got to prove himself. He's not proved himself at Nice or Lausanne.
Well, he's a billionaire. He proved himself to who?
At the football. The thing is, at Nice or Lausanne, he's been useless. Lord Alan Sugar is an outstanding businessman. But Spurs fans don't like him. This is the point. Football is a very different business. And there's a lot of people out there, top business people, that have gone to football. Todd Bowley at Chelsea, he's utterly clueless. He's a rich man, but he's utterly clueless. So, as I say, I mean, sorry, I'll let you count anyway.
I think that probably optimises every club in the Premiership, to be honest with you. Do I read? Like, the chairman of Jim Borg summed up football, particularly Premiership clubs, arrogant and greedy. It's all about, you know, big ownership coming in, the record of spending on players. They've ruined the culture of football.
That is big, big statement. So is that the same for Everton, Liverpool and Leicester, the teams you follow?
Yeah. To some extent, yeah.
To some extent, but you think it's bigger with other certain clubs, do you? Clubs like Manchester United. I mean, if Manchester United have shown arrogance with people that didn't understand football, Ed Woodward, football and what they do on the pitch won't affect anything about Manchester United. Well, it does, because FFP is now an issue at the club, because you're an absolute fool, Ed Woodward, and then you put all your mates in charge, and they were even worse than Ed Woodward. I mean, Ed Woodward was bad, but how could he be even worse than Ed Woodward? I tell you what, it's all their mates, getting all your mates in on jobs so they can get their massive payoff as well.
Anyway, well, it's jobs for the boys, really, isn't it? But essentially, as a very successful businessman, which he is, you can't deny that.
No, I don't question that.
You know, these people make the money by being ruthless, so it is a bit naive for people like me and you to think, oh, it's just jobs for the boys, and he's doing these people a favour. Surely he will make ruthless decisions to gain success at United.
Well, this is the thing. Let's see if he does make those ruthless decisions. Let's see if we're actually going to actually have a footballing brain. If you go from what he's done at Nice and Lausanne, you can't be confident that he's going to do that. The one thing he is doing is he's getting people in that can do the job. But when are they going to be able to start doing the job? And the fact that he thought he could just go to Newcastle, negotiate, and get Dan Ashworth for like a pie and a pint, which is essentially what he wanted to do, to me, that shows massive, massive, massive naivety, which is a worry at this stage. But anyway, just before, because we talked a lot, and this is good work from Dennis, even though, to be honest, he's been good as always. I mean, as I say, I've got a lot of messages from him about his happiness that United are going downhill. But prediction for tonight, Dennis.
Yeah, we contacted that. It was only tongue-in-cheek words in Europe, not
bitterness. Yeah.
It's worth it on the record.
You can put it on the record anyway, but it is bitterness. But anyway, Dennis, prediction for tonight?
3-1 Newcastle.
There we go. Dennis with his prediction. And I will be back with the team news very soon.
Sure.
He's saying something else now. He should have put your hand up to say, carry on. Go on, carry on.
No, just saying, I think first goal scorer, Isaac, the amount of Newcastle forward, I think he's going to be too strong for the United defence. I think whenever they're up against strength and power, the fan wanting United's defence, I think they're a bit weak.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only leeway I give Ten Hag this season in regards to the injuries, because he's just used out of excuse all season, is if you had every single one of your centre-backs out, apart from somebody like Johnny Evans, and you happen to play Casemiro as centre-back, although what I would say is, just drop Casemiro if he's not playing well enough and put a youngster in, but someone will say, oh, that could destroy their confidence. I mean, if their confidence is not good enough, if you're playing for Man United, you're going to be under the microscope. And their players bigger than plenty of the youngsters that have not turned up this season. United's best players have been Garnacho and Mainoo, and there have been a lot of more experienced players who essentially have been a disgrace and just down tools because, oh, things are a little bit hard. They put a banner up at Fulham when they talked about play for the fans, and Scott McTominay was asked about this, and he talked about, like any player would, yeah, that's what we do, what play for the fans. You don't play for the fans consistently. A lot of players are just playing for themselves because they are paid ridiculous money and they don't particularly care and they're not bothered. I mean, I could name some, but you probably know them if you've been listening to the pod. Sorry, Dennis has got a quick one he wants to throw in.
Yeah, Casemiro, Phil, I'm surprised you've not come in and leaped in to his defence because he has come in for a lot of criticism, lack of effort, playing like he doesn't care. He's only about £300,000 a week, allegedly. It's just unacceptable, isn't it? Because even punters like Roy Keane, Gary Neville, Wayne Rooney have all sort of consistently said, what's he actually doing? He's just jogging around the pitch.
Well, this is what, yeah, Casemiro's got to improve his performance. But again, why that? Erik ten Hag can drop Casemiro. He's allowed to drop Casemiro, but he doesn't drop him. And I'm not, I mean, Wan-Bissaka's another one, which is unfortunately can't drop him. He's another one that's just strolling around the pitch. Unfortunately, the injuries in defence have caused a massive problem. And as I say, if Manchester City didn't have six of their centre-backs, they would struggle. They play better football than United, but they would struggle to keep clean sheets. That's the only way I'm giving Erik ten Hag in regards to the injuries. But he has to play better football, he has to produce better performances, and he's got to stop giving excuses for how the game is going. And he's also got to stop saying, oh, John Mertz really helped me. He didn't, mate, he didn't. But anyway, Dennis has said it. Isaac's going to score the first goal. Newcastle are going to win 3-1. And he'll be cheering from the rooftops if that happens. As I say, we talked for quite a long time. There won't be much talk about the football match, thankfully, because United, in regards to football, are shambles. The target is now, to look towards the FA Cup. The first FA Cup that will happen, and this goes to show, even though Man United are absolute garbage, why they're still talk of the town and first team people to talk about. I would say, in 99.9% of FA Cup finals, apart from the underdog side, is the team that the country supports or wants to win. The underdogs are normally, obviously, if you support the other team, you'll support them. But 99%. But this year, it'll be the other way around. 99.9% of the country will want Manchester City to win. It says more about Man United. A garbage football club, but still a big football club. And so, you've got a lot of work to do. Let's see if you actually understand football. We'll find out very soon. Yep, I've not got a lot of time after that great chat with Dennis. But the team news is out. Interest in Hoyland on the bench. Don't know if he's injured or not, but Bruno Fernandes does come back in. So it is an Arnold in goal, back four, Dalot, Wan-Bissaka, Casemiro and Evans. The midfield, probably Bruno Fernandes, Mainoo and Amrabat. Maybe Scott McTominay's playing through the middle as a centre-forward. It's Garnacho and Ahmad on the wings. Rashford's back on the bench, though, so everything's fine and dandy, I suppose. We'll be interested to see how United play today. They were much more compact against Arsenal. I think they have to play that way. That's how they played last season, essentially. Very compact and solid. So I'll be interested to see, as I say, with the FA Cup final coming up against Manchester City, you're going to need to be compact and solid in that game to give yourself an opportunity to win that match. So is it a way of setting that up? Obviously, there'll be players coming back. Martinez is on the bench. But as I say, I think the result tonight, obviously you want to win, but I think he's also got to think about getting minutes in the legs of other players so that, you know, at least the bench at the FA Cup final will be stronger, though. Obviously, you will have players that aren't going to be fully match fit. I'll be back after the match. So on the walk back, it's finished. Manchester United 3, Newcastle United 2. United finished the league season with a victory, a bit of a victory. I think both teams, it was a match between two teams that are very lord, especially defensively. I would say that, again, United sort of set up in a more compact and pragmatic way, and they have to do that with the way they have had the defensive issues and the fact that their midfield, there's still gaps, there's still mistakes in there, and also losing the ball in ridiculous positions, which happened throughout the game, and it it allowed Newcastle to get back into the game. It also allowed, you know, Newcastle could have also, you know, taken control of the game if it wasn't for an outstanding block from Amrabat that stopped basically a certain goal in the 3-on-1 after Wan-Bissaka just ridiculously lost the ball further up the pitch. But it wasn't the only one. There were various other times that United lost the ball and got away with it, all last-ditch challenges. And, you know, they probably just about earned their look, but they're going to need to have a much better, improved performance when it comes to that cup final, because one thing's for sure, they're going to have to score at least two goals, because they're definitely going to concede, I would say, unless they somehow manage to keep City out and then sneak a goal or take it to penalties. But I think one of the big things will be the substitutions, because you could see that we're huffing and puffing later on in the game when they were in the lead. Big Kobbie Mainoo who got the opener. Great play from Ahmad Diallo. I mean, Eric Ten Hag's management of him has been an absolute joke. Another player who had a good game, Amrabat. Again, Eric Ten Hag's management of him has been a joke. I'm not saying they should be, you know, they're top-class players and they should always be playing. I'm just saying they were never, ever given an opportunity early on in the season, and the manager just kept picking the same old favourites, which is absolutely ridiculous. When one of those favourites is Antony, it's, as I say, trying to set yourself, you know, when you know you're going to get 9 million, absolutely ridiculous. But great play from Ahmed, touch through to Kobbie Mainoo, just a cool finish into the corner, 1-0 at half time. United never lost a Premier League game when they leaded 1-0 at half time. Minutes into the second half, it's 1-1, Anthony Gordon. But United, there were three or four, five times when they just gave the ball away with players further forward, and Newcastle broke on them, and eventually, as I say, it's time. It was a clearance from Anand. I mean, Anand's clearances tonight, just finding Newcastle players left and right and centre. But then Ahmad, so it was 1-1, but then Ahmad from a corner, a fantastic strike, as I say. Harnessing his inner Macum, as I say, he spent time at last season brilliantly on loan with Sunderland, with excellent performances at Sunderland. So fantastic drill finish from a clearance from a corner. And as I say, just before that was Amrabat's amazing last-ditch challenge, which saved a certain goal when Newcastle could have gone 2-1 up. And then the third goal, Hoyland came on. He passed from Bruno through the centre, through a couple of defenders, right foot shot. Could have done better. Maybe I've seen it back on replay now, possibly. But good goal for Erasmus. And he needs goals. He needs to build up his confidence coming on as substitutes. And then a late goal from Lewis Hall and Nana positioning. I have no idea what it was like. He was looking around the corner and then a massive gap. It wasn't stood in the centre of his goal. So to make it 3-2. But United did hang on and they move on to the same number of points as Newcastle. And, but the goal difference, -3, I think it is. I mean, that's just, you know, it has been a wretched season, and that -3 just says everything about how this season has gone. As I say, there's a light at the end of the tunnel with an FA Cup final for the club to try and win in a couple of weeks' time. Bruno Fernandes was taken off towards the end of the game. He needs to be wrapped up in cotton wool. People can criticise him as much as you want, but he is one of the only creative spots in this Manchester United side. And people who criticise him, I mean, he's in an awful, awful football team. And, you know, he clocked around the ground at the end of the match. You know, they did do a lap of honour. I'd gone by then. As I say, changes each up at this football club. And as I say, any player is indispensable at this moment in time at this football club. You get a good offer, I think the player can go, and as I say, leaving Man United might be a bonus for some players. Rashford came on, Martinez came on in the last 10 minutes. Rashford should not be starting the FA Cup final at all. He should be on the bench. The only way he should start the FA Cup final is if you literally have no other wingers. And if, do you know what? I'd even play Antony ahead of Marcus Rashford. That's how poor Rashford's been this season, and attitude-wise. That's the thing. So on that juggle today, maybe, you know, the game's catching up with him, as I say, against Brighton. I would rest key players for the FA Cup match, especially if they play a lot of minutes this season. As I said, the centre-back pairing will be very interesting. We'll also be interested to see what happens in midfield, because if we get some centre-backs back, then who knows, as I say. Well, Casemiro wouldn't be Amrabat and holding midfielder. Mainoo, again, he looked legged as well, as I say. Back these players up in Cotton Wool for this FA Cup final, because you're going to need these players, and you're going to need players coming off the bench, because as players get tired, that's where better teams make the difference. And say Newcastle couldn't do that. They had their opportunity after half-time, but they didn't get the second goal. And I think if they had gone 2-1 up, it could have been a very different story. But United, as I say, Ahmad in a Macum, scoring a goal against Newcastle. Fantastic, fantastic goal, and a key goal at a key time for the club. And as I say, Erik ten Hag ridiculously has overlooked this player. I mean, Ole also overlooked this player. It was ridiculous, the actual how this player has been treated at this football club, and their number of players not getting an opportunity. I mean, even Ramabai, he's not been great for the club, but he was bought injured, played out of position, and then expected to just turn up and perform, when players like Casemiro are performing absolutely awfully. And the other thing, the manager plays Scott McTominay as a holding midfielder. It's utterly ridiculous and awful management, because anyone who actually watches Manchester United knows exactly where the issues are and what the problems are. Mainoo always plays better with a decent holding midfielder. He's our key midfielder in a key area. See that with the final home league match of the season. One more game to go against Brighton. Still 8th in the table, and as I say, I'll be more than happy if they miss out Europe by the league. And then if they win the Europa League, if they win the FA Cup, they can get in the Europa League. Instead, it would be nice to finish 7th, maybe. But I think that would be Conference League football guaranteed, because if City win the FA Cup, then it would go down one more space. So there is something to play for against Brighton, but keeping players fit and ready for that FA Cup final is more important, and getting some players back as well. And one more thing to mention as well, obviously Rafael Varane is leaving the football club. I'm not wholly sold on these videos to say that you're leaving. I wasn't sold at all on his video when it came on before the Leeds match. I'd rather him be ready to play. He's clearly our best defender. Yes, he's on big money, but this is what this football club's about. It's about trying to save money ahead of keeping your better players, because unfortunately this football club is an absolute joke. And as I say with Surratt, he's getting people in that know football, thankfully. And let's just hope we just see him in the background now, and he allows the people, obviously, when they start work. And as I say, Jason Wilcox, good luck with Dave Brailsford. Lisa Luzerne, that's all I can say. But anyway, as always, thanks for listening. All potter at www.musglobal.co.uk, with various podcast platforms such as Spotify, Podbean, PCast, Podchaser, search MUSC Global, and you'll find the pod, like, comment, share. Just go let me know what you think. It's been a long season. It's not over yet. 2 matches to go. A massive FA Cup final incoming, which, as I say, the majority of the country wants to lose, even though we're underdogs. But that's how it is when you're, it's Manchester United. Not liked very much, and haven't been liked for a long time. We just have to focus on ourselves and make sure that we're ready come that day against Manchester City. So as always, thanks for listening, and I will be back after the Brighton game on Sunday, end of the league season, but still one more game to go after that.